to Mike.
There's one.
No, there was two.
Shut up. There you go. Give it a second.
Wait 5 seconds.
There you go.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Welcome. This is the first public hearing of the Facility Advisories Committee. My name is Pauline Benton. I'm the chair of the committee. And we're going to start with roll call.
Melissa? Linda?
Yep.
Naraj? Stacy?
Yes.
Carlos?
Here.
Brian?
Here.
Gracie?
Here.
Jane?
Here.
Barry? Pauline?
Here.
Bob? Nguyen? Or Raj? Okay, call to order with 8 of 11.
Okay. We have a quorum. Okay, thank you. Okay, item 3 on our agenda is communications. The first item on our, let me do that first before we move on to communications. Welcome to the Facilities Advisory Committee meeting. All meetings are open to the public. Members of the audience are invited to address the members of the committee on any subject on tonight's agenda when that item is being addressed. Speakers are asked to state their name and affiliation to the district for the record and limit their remarks to no more than 3 minutes and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the committee. The other thing I'd like to mention is when you're filling out the speaker cards, if you could be really specific about what your comments will be in regards to. Let's say, for example, if it's in regards to school repurposing, if you could mention which school that you'll be addressing, then this way it'll be easier for us to keep track so we're not duplicating comments. Thank you. Okay.
Perhaps you want to say that. Perhaps you want to say that too. If it's a comment about the same school, limit it to one comment.
Okay, yes. So as far as the public comments are concerned, if we do find it's a duplicate comment, then we're going to move on to the next speaker, just in the sake of saving time and to make sure that as many people can have their comments heard. Okay, 3.1, review of public hearing procedures. Well, we pretty much went over most of that. So what'll happen is, as you can see from the agenda, we'll do a presentation. There'll be a short presentation on what the FAC committee has been working on up until now. Then the next thing we will do is present our proposed recommendations. And then once we've presented those recommendations, then we will move on to public comment. And I'm assuming that's what that podium is for? Yes. So when we call your name, you come up to the podium and go ahead and read off your comments. Any questions? Okay. All right, presentation of fact findings. So I think what we'll start with is, for those of you who are not in the audience who are not really familiar with what the FAC committee has been charged with, I'm gonna read you a short paragraph when this committee was first convened. So this committee was charged with analyzing enrollment projections, school boundaries, school capacities, and facilities and conditions, including the district facilities such as the district office, maintenance and operations, and the central kitchen. The committee was charged with exploring the viability of a Meadow Fair school and identifying potential revenue generating solutions. Finally, based on a survey the district administered to ascertain the community's interest in unique and innovative programs, those results were shared with us so that they may help inform our recommendations, such as establishing an early learning center, creating a VAPA-focused school, etc. So since August, we've been meeting every 2 weeks and poring over a lot of data.
It's a lot. What? It's a lot.
Yeah.
Comments first.
So one of the things we were looking at was the enrollment projections. And up there you can see is a spreadsheet that was put together. And basically that showed the history of the enrollment in this district. If you look at the totals line under Silver Oak, you can see the trend from fall 2011 to fall 2016, that enrollment declined from 10,000, approximately 10,000 K through six students down to 9,300. So that is one of the trends. And this is all based on information from the demographer's report, which was presented to the committee back in December and again presented formally to the board at last Thursday's board meeting. So this data does show very vividly that there is declining enrollment in our district. And then also the demographer projected out to 2020. And as you can see, K through six enrollment declines even further, down to 7,900 students in 2020. Okay, the next thing we looked at in addition to enrollment is school capacities. So as you can see from the next slide, the 1, 2, 3, 4th column over campus capacity, those are the capacities of each of the schools. And then the next three columns showed you what enrollment was in 15-16, 16-17, and projected enrollment in 2020. As you can see, based on the capacities of schools, the enrollment is far below projected in 2020 of the school capacities. So this was other information that we were looking at to help us determine, you know, the facilities and the best use of those facilities. What we did then on the next, do you have the next slide, 2020? Okay. So what we did then on the next slide is we looked based on the projections. One of the things that the committee deciding on was based on the school capacities, what the enrollment is, the future enrollment of the district. We needed to come up with a enrollment number that we would use to help us decide whether or not the facilities were being efficiently used. Optimally used. Not that all the facilities would be full, but would be optimally used. You know, weighing different things like class sizes and all that good stuff. So based on a California state trend of 550 to 700 enrollment as being optimal, based on the campus capacities for all our schools, the committee came up with an agreed upon number of 625, that would be the optimal enrollment that we felt would be a good number for our facilities. So if you look at the chart, you see a red line there, and that would be based on 2020 projections. That's how many schools would be below the 625 and how many of the schools would be above 625 if no changes were made. No boundary changes, no repurposing, nothing. So that red line jumped out at us. Okay, so then the next thing, after looking at enrollment and school capacities, the next thing we looked at is school boundaries. And this was based, we invited the demographer to come to us and present to us a report, you know, on projected enrollments as well as current school boundaries. And based on his projections, his professional opinion on what the district could look like if we changed boundaries. A few of the requests that we had was, one of them was We don't want our children crossing major streets, like Capitol Expressway, for example. So the next slides are the boundaries as presented to us by the demographer, and I'm going to hand it over to Brian.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming. I'm Brian Wheatley. I have been a teacher in the district since 1985 and am currently the president of the Teachers Association. And just looking back on that, the enrollment chart, besides the red line, the number that jumped out at me because I have been here for so long, I remember when Matsumoto was over 1,000 kids. And if you look at the projection for 2020, it's 534. And that was just, I mean, to me, it really sunk in that we're dealing with a problem. And you look at the boundaries, the problem is throughout the district. Again, I just referenced Matsumoto. But when we gave those parameters to the demographer, particularly that we wanted to make sure to keep kids safe, and we wanted to look at, were we to change some things, in other words, to repurpose schools, what would Evergreen look like? So he brought our attention to two areas. So then,
hold on, he's fixing it.
Oh,
I'm fixing it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oops.
So again, to reiterate, this is not the problem of declining enrollment is throughout the district, but in terms of looking at specifically where the greatest need to do something is.
Not yet. Good on. He's fiddling.
Oh, okay. We're rebooting the whole thing.
Yep.
Apologies.
Sorry.
I'm a teacher, so we deal with this all the time. You've got a lesson all set up, and you're ready to go with 34 sixth graders, and the technology doesn't work. So that's when you really show how good you are, because you have. I could teach you a song, but probably not. That's one of the things that we did. Okay, we're back. Okay, so there you can see the whole district, and again, we have a problem throughout the district.
Go ahead.
So, but one of the things we were looking at is, because you may have heard, there was some talk about the possibility of opening a school in the Meadowfair area, possibly on Leyva's campus, so you can kind of see where that is in the map. But one of the things that the demographer talked to us about is he broke the entire district up into regions and talked about what those regions could handle, and he said basically that this region, in terms of elementary schools, can handle two elementary schools. So if we were to add a Meadowfair, it would mean needing to repurpose one of the other two schools. So obviously all of this goes to the board, and the board has the authority to make a decision. But because of this issue, we did not see the need, or we did not feel it was correct to recommend a change in this region, because when those kids are brought, those Meadowfair kids go back to Whaley and to Catherine Smith, this region is basically fine to 2020. So basically this is where the major problem is right now. So in a nutshell, we have five schools in what we term the central west region of the district. We have five schools, as you can see, Dove Hill, Montgomery, where we are right now, Cadwallader, Laurelwood, and J.F. Smith, but we have capacity for, in terms of students, really now and going forward, for three schools. So basically, immediately we realized that this is the area that we needed to focus on, because while the problem is throughout the district, the I don't want to say crisis, but the crucial area is right here. And when you think about what's happened to our district, going into last year, we lost 600 kids. Start of this year, we were down 500 kids, and we're projected to be down another 450 next year. That's a projection. We don't know, but that's a scary trend line.
Okay.
All right, thank you. In addition to looking at enrollment numbers, school capacities, the demographer's report, boundaries, the other thing we looked at, or we were charged with looking at, is the existing conditions of all the facilities here in our district. And we have Stacy here, who will enlighten us on that.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My name is Stacy Johnson. I am a parent of a student in the district. I am a community member, and I serve on a nonprofit that works to help and support our schools. So please understand our schools are very important to me, and I know they are to you. In terms of facilities conditions, we felt that it was important to go and look at each site to see what they look like, what kind of condition they were in, whether they had been upgraded, would they need upgrades based on school capacities, what was the layout of the school campuses. And in short, we decided that we didn't really feel that the conditions of the facilities was something that should drive any decision or recommendation from this committee, that just like homes and businesses, things are in various states of repair, certain things have been updated, and that in general, any costs associated to that would not be pertinent to future considerations in regards to the school properties.
Thank you. All right, the other thing, the next thing to go over that we were charged with was looking at a community survey that the district administered in the fall of. This was from a year ago.
A year ago.
Regarding what parents would like to see offered in Evergreen schools. And for that, I'm gonna turn it over to Jane.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jane Martin, and I'm a teacher here in Evergreen. I am also a product of Evergreen, having gone through Holyoke and Quimby Oak, so I've been in this area for a long time. The community survey we looked at was given last November, and 345 people responded, and it was to get a feeling about what parents were interested in having offered at their school. And as you can see from the percentages, they speak for themselves. There's a high interest in STEM. One of the things we're rolling out, I believe, is STEM labs at each school, which is currently rolling through, I believe. Mm-hmm. All right. There's high interest in visual and performing arts, dual language immersion, career tech, coding, and programming. So there's a lot of interest in some of these programs, which would, of course, have to be researched by our instruction department, and again, recommended by the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. All right. Okay, well, that sort of concludes the, let's say, the presentation of what the FAC has been looking at and discussing in order to help us formulate the recommendations that we will be reporting to the board on April 8th. And at this point, I'd really like to stress that these are recommendations. This committee is not making any decisions. These are possible recommendations that, based on the research and all the data that we've looked at and very thoughtful discussions we've had over the course of many, many meetings, that these will be recommendations that we feel comfortable making to the board, and that the board will take under advisement, and they will be the ones making the decisions. I do have one public comment regarding what we just talked about. Mr. Larson, would you like to come to the podium, please?
Kevin Larson, parent, Millbrook. And we have, I believe, 3 minutes, but I won't take that long. So I want to say first that our wonderful school board member, Ms. Mace, presented this committee over 20 questions, and this committee chose not to address those and not to review them fully. So many parents have asked this committee, it's been documented, to postpone this meeting and move it to April, because many parents, in addition to myself, feel that we're not ready to present any kind of findings at all, because you have not gone over the 20 questions by the school board member. And that took a lot of guts for that school board member to give that letter to you. Now, I want to say this, that you're not listening to the public comment. And when you don't listen to the public comment, there's a problem. I was told somebody's phone. Okay, so when you don't hear the public, it would have been very easy for you to just wait till April. The other public comment that we had for your findings today is that you invite the people, the proposed schools that might be repurposed, to have the meetings there. And instead, you're having it Montgomery, and I got lost coming over here. There's probably some parents not able to find this place. So as far as your findings go, I think they're unprofessional, and I did think you were doing a good job for a while there, and I commented that on the minutes, but I also commented the next meeting that I felt you're very unprofessional in how you're handling this and not postponing the findings. Reason why? You did not go over Ms. Mace's questions. I don't know why.
Thank you. Oops. Okay. What we'll do now is move on to the next agenda item, which is the proposed recommendations that the FAC committee is currently considering.
Go ahead. Recommendations.
Okay. The Martin property. This is that the empty lot that faces San Felipe next to our maintenance and operations and transportation. It's near, faces San Felipe right in front of the old Pac Bell central office building. The district owns that property. Based on discussions that the FAC committee has had, we've determined that, or we will be recommending to the board that they should make it a priority to develop that land for generating revenue. Okay, the next recommendation, the Meadow Fair School. As explained by Brian in his part of the presentation, the FAC committee determined it's not economically viable at this point because of declining enrollment. And if the district did choose to build a Meadow Fair School, it may cause a need to repurpose a third school. Laurelwood. The FAC committee has determined that this is a possible site to be repurposed, and the students would be consolidated with Cadwallader and other neighboring schools. Dove Hill. Again, this is another school that the committee has determined that for possible repurposing and changing of boundaries so that the students could be accommodated at neighboring schools. Obi Whaley and Catherine Smith. Committee will be recommending to change boundaries so that both of those schools would absorb the Meadow Fair students. And lastly, the district office. The FAC committee looked at the district office and determined a recommendation to possibly relocate the district office to one of the repurposed sites and develop the existing district office for revenue generation. Or, instead of relocating the district office, put a two-story building on the existing site and then redevelop the remaining land for revenue generation.
Can we just have a conversation about the schools real quick, and that we're looking at all five schools, and not just the conversations have been really about Laurelwood and Dove Hill currently?
Good evening. I'm Linda Moore, and I'm currently the a principal for the district, and I've been serving on this committee since July. What we are looking at here when we talk to you about these recommendations, as Pauline has suggested to you, this is our current conversation. This is a public meeting that we really are looking to get as much information as possible so that we can make informed recommendations to the board. So while you see two schools that are currently on here, that does not necessarily mean that those are the two schools that we are going to be making those recommendations about on April 8th. What it means is that these are the two schools that we've had the most conversation around that are possible considerations. We are still looking at 5 schools within the Evergreen School District in that Central West region that you saw with the map that Brian presented to you.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, so that concludes the presentation on the recommendation. So now we're going to move on to public comments. So I will call your name, and then you can come to the podium.
No, it's all these right here, but I need to type them in.
You didn't type those in yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, we will start with Carolyn Wong. Please come to the podium.
Carolyn Wong, turn hers in before yours.
Is this question 4.1?
Yes.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Carolyn Wong. I'm a past parent of Laurelwood Elementary School and a current neighbor in the Creekside neighborhood. I've been coming to the last few board meetings and FAC meetings. I'm just disappointed. The committee seems so focused on closing and repurposing schools, despite the public opinion, the trustees' opinions, that something needs to be done to attract people back to our district. Trustee Zito said at the last meeting, if closing schools is the only thing on the agenda, then our district's going to implode. The community survey that you posted tells us what people want. Why aren't we focusing on bringing those programs in to attract people to bring their kids back into our district or to bring them in from other districts? You put up here that Laurelwood is up for repurposing. Previously, you said repurposing and revenue generation. Most of us in the neighborhood can't figure out what could possibly be put in our neighborhood to generate revenue, especially without opening up the roadblocks. We've worked very hard to keep those roadblocks in place to keep the safety of our neighborhood. We know what happened on Neiman Boulevard when the roadblock was taken out there. There was street racing happening, people were killed. Our neighborhood is much smaller, our streets are not that wide. We could have injuries, we could have property damage, we're all very worried about that. So many people have brought up suggestions on what could be done to bring things into Laurelwood to keep it open. If it gets closed while you're working on it to repurpose it, if it's empty, we're going to attract crime, vagrants, people there. It's going to be more difficult to do. So our neighborhood is very worried about what you're going to do with Laurelwood.
Thank you.
Yeah, leave it on.
Okay, thank you. All right, next we have Mylin Chan.
Hi, my name is Mylin. I'm a Laurelwood parent. I wanted to say that the FAC was commissioned to determine the best use of its facilities. Your real estate advisor made many recommendations, but at the end of the day, the best use is by filling it up with students. Decline in enrollment is happening nationwide. At times like this, the district should be reevaluating its curriculum and looking at the market demand. They need to focus on attracting and retaining students. The ability for each district to make itself attractive and be innovative is how we remain competitive. This is something that the demographer also supported. He made in his recommendation the other day, last week, was that a solution would be if the district can offer it, offer special programs, and maybe even open the district charter. This is where inter-transfer district students become a game changer. If we want to look, San Jose Unified this past year had 1,200 enrollment applicants. They had 712 applicants at the elementary school level, and they accepted 587. Alum Rock accepted at least 500. Every district has stated that for the amount of students that have gone out, they have can come back in, including the transfer students. I did a community survey, and we had a lot of responses. STEM, dual immersion, performing arts, and accelerated learning bring clients. Instead of repurposing Dove Hill and Laurelwood for other revenue options, why not look at introducing, for example, at Laurelwood, a dual immersion academy? San Jose could be the first to have a dual immersion academy with offering Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. There's only 2 Mandarin immersion programs in Santa Clara County, The closest is Cupertino. There's only 4 Vietnamese immersion programs in the whole United States. We could be the first one in California. Parents are also upset that there are no GATE programs or accelerated learning programs in Evergreen. We could open an international baccalaureate program. The primary years program could be offered at a school like Laurelwood. It's the smallest one, which would probably be the cheapest to open at. And then you can open up the middle school years at Sheboygan. Then our students can go to Evergreen for the diploma program. The status quo is not working. The district cannot fall in the trap of complacency. I understand that every single program costs money, but other districts are offering and they have to start from somewhere. The board needs to commit to something and make an initial investment. These programs in the long run will bring in students and therefore make you money. You can get additional grant writers. You can work with community partnerships. For example, Stanford has a partnership with San Francisco Unified, Sunnyvale, and Palo Alto. We can work with these graduate schools of education and get our teachers. We can also work with other community programs to get these fundings, just like how Palo Alto is doing and how Cupertino is doing it with the parents. The district has been in and out of red for years, and it's time for them to come up and be willing to make a change and have a long-term strategy. Change is tough, and we need leaders in the board and in the administration to step up and make it happen. Cutting things are just a short-term remedy, and the issue is just going to creep up again later.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Larson.
Tell me which one it is.
Oh, this is in regards to Laurelwood? 4.1.2?
Kevin Larson, parent, Hillbrook. Each of these items are labeled with a number. I'm not going to take 9 minutes, but that's why I was confused. Because according to Robert's Rules of Order, when you set an agenda item, you get to speak to that particular item. Instead, we're doing this incorrectly, in my opinion, and I'd ask you to review it. That's why the confusion was here. Number one, Laurelwood, 4.1.2. If you go to our school district website, and if you press on Facilities Advisory Committee, it's on the front page under the parent click, then you go to the minutes of the meetings. One of my letters is posted on the November 2016 minutes. If you scroll down the minutes, you can read my letter. In that letter, I did an analysis of Laurelwood, and I compared it to Cadwalder. And in my opinion, after taking like 4 hours and looking it over, I believe that, in my opinion, I was leaning towards keeping Laurelwood open and having Cadwalder be repurposed for, ideally, a county office of education, perhaps autistic center. The reason why I like Laurelwood open is I looked it over, and to me it would be easier for children to walk around to the schools, just to walk around with their parents. It was that easy of an analysis. Somehow or another, the demographer said clearly, I make no recommendations of any schools. He said clearly, I make no recommendations. But it seems to me that this committee has pretty much not listened to the public. So I'm going to ask, as far as Laurelwood goes, that we take a hard look at busing and a hard look above Laurelwood at development. Because if you look at all over, the two schools near Laurelwood are super impacted. And then as far as the Cadwalder, it only has, I believe, 290 students, so it's really minimal. So they could just move to the other schools, and Cadwalder could be repurposed as an autism center. Okay, the next thing I want to go to, since we've blended them all in here, is Dove Hill. I want to make it clear that this school district, in my opinion, made a promise to the Dove Hill parents. It was understood, in my opinion, that that school would be rebuilt with funds from bonds. Legally, that doesn't have to be done. Bond money can be moved around. But that Dove Hill school and those parents have been waiting for their classrooms to be refurbished a long time. And I think that when I looked over the entire situation, in my opinion, I would keep Dove Hill open, and I would put in the same kind of classrooms that we put in recently at some of the other schools. We have a quick pour of cement, quick building of classrooms, and all of those ridiculously old classrooms, which I have walked around at Dove Hill, need to be, in my opinion, torn down. So it is possible to quickly rebuild those classrooms, like over the summer. And Dove Hill can once again continue to stay open. I have walked the school. It's a community environment, which means all the families go there during the weekend time. I've been there. They play basketball there. It's a, yeah, but I get a little longer because you guys, these are separate points. I see your phone. So it's a community hub, and part of the decision making of repurposing any school involves a look at the low-income community and how it's affected. So I believe Dove Hill must stay open. I believe Cadwalder needs to be repurposed, perhaps, or Laurelwood, but probably Cadwalder, repurposed, Autism Center. And those are my two suggestions for now. I have district office, one comment, and I have 10, like maybe 15 seconds on the district office. There's two things that really bother me. Someone from this committee said, I foresee construction and light commercial, in my opinion now, at Dove Hill. Someone, in my opinion, said, they're gonna build there. Well, I say no way. That is strictly a residential area for homes. I wanna make that clear. Number two, the district office. This committee needed more time and should not have held this meeting today at all, because you don't know if you can build a light commercial at the district office. You don't know. And you haven't checked with anybody, and as far as I can see, I've attended most of the meetings. So you shouldn't have done that. You should have said, can we build light commercial there? If not, it's residential again. And one last thing, which is really important. If we repurpose a school, I believe by law, charter schools get first grabs at it. And I'll wait for the public comment time coming next. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Anoop Dewani. Did I say that right?
Yeah. So I'm representing the state neighborhood here. I believe the parents in our community here in the state neighborhood, we actually feel that if the quality of education is important as opposed to number of schools, so repurposing is, I mean, at least to the community in our area, it's fine as long as the location and the zoning has done is being done properly. Right now in the state neighborhood, if you look at the Laurelwood school is the farthest school from the state neighborhood. At some point, you know, it was the closest, but there was a street closure on San Felipe. And because of that, we are facing a lot of challenges right now to drop our kids to Laurelwood. And this might be an opportunity to actually rezone the schools properly and make sure that we are providing the quality of education, concentrating on quality of education as opposed to number of schools. That's my comment. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Lavanish Bansal.
Hey guys, I'm the parent of my kids go to the Laurelwood school. I'm here with Anoop, you know, representing the state's neighborhood. I have the same issue. You know, I have these maps drawn out. I can, you know, you can print it out. So the Laurelwood itself is like 2.6 miles, whereas all three other schools, JFK, or those are less than 2 miles. Adding 1 mile and four extra lights in the peak hours when you have to drop the kids, it takes a lot of toll. And when your parents are driving that, you know, who are older, it is definitely a lot of concern for us. I don't know what was the reason when the zoning was done. I think it's been a while. I'm here. I moved into state 3 years ago, and I've been suffering it for last 3 years. And I just want to request this community, you know, committee, that whatever you guys decide, but please be reasonable when you are doing this allocation again to the school districts. You know, somehow it doesn't make me sense. It makes sense to me and our community that why it was done, but definitely there would be reasons, but please be reasonable. We suffered a lot. Please help us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jared Rich.
Hello everyone. I have three children, one here from Brock, that have attended Laurelwood, and I have three more that are growing too. We moved to the neighborhood solely for access to good schools, and we feel that in this neighborhood, quality is not a question from school to school. But having had a
child with special needs. I have one who's now very IEP, I believe on the spectrum, happy at Laurel. We've attended Matsumoto, started at James Smith, went to Matsumoto, Cadwallader, and now Laurelwood, and have had an amazing program, amazing teachers. Our family, you know, we're not great beings, it's something that I understand that every family has a hard time getting kids to school, and that trek around to get to the light is a little tough. But I do live at the end of that cul-de-sac, and I can tell you that that barrier is there to save the children that go to those schools. Children, their cars come racing through there all the time. I understand it's a little inconvenient, but it's for the safety of the children overall. Knowing Cadwallader having a smaller capacity, I feel that the ability for that school to be absorbed throughout Montgomery, Duffield, and Laurelwood would keep the children in the neighborhoods. As far as traveling, would be a little easier for the families in those areas, because honestly, we all want to attend the school closest to our home. I get that. But there's a lot to consider. And then when you also think of repurposing, Laurelwood has the access to the creek right there. That's a lot closer. It's closer to more major freeways from the foot aspect, right? So the chances of vagrants taking over that area, the creek behind it, without population being there, without families populating that area, which, as we all know, it's a neighborhood of families, and that's what we're there for. We really want you guys to really consider all the families that are being affected by the decisions here. Closing a school is something that is not taken lightly by any child, family, teacher. It's easy to move and shuffle numbers and people, but there are deep running effects that go for years and years. Right? It's not easy for us to just move from a neighborhood to get a better school that's close by. I really appreciate you guys taking deep consideration into everything that you guys have on your shoulders. So thank you guys. Do you have anything you want to say for a second?
I think Laurelwood is a great school, and I would really like it if I can finish it second grade to sixth grade and make it to middle school.
Okay, next, Peter Goldsmith.
My name is Peter Goldsmith. I've had the kids that went to Dovetail over the years. They're out of there now. So I guess I got a couple comments. One is that your handout is interesting, but you should identify who you are in the handout so that we can contact you and listen to who we're talking to. And you should also identify who's on the board who will make, who will accept your recommendations and make whatever decisions they're going to make. This is a political situation. If we know the people, we can make contact. I can do the research to find out who's on the board, but to be user-friendly and community-friendly, you should let us know who it is and who to contact, or maybe give us their emails. We don't have a lot of people here. We had a meeting about 6 months ago at Dove Hill, and the place was marked with the community, because word got around. So I think we're a little remiss in not having more people and more participation, as evidenced by the fact that these people are dedicated or interested, but there are a lot more people out there who are interested and care a lot about the communities and about the schools. Now, you talk about nice communities, you're not talking about the price of the property, you're talking about the school districts. If you're talking about the communities, Los Gatos, Palo Alto, what makes them good districts, nice places to be? It's the schools. And that's something we can all affect. And I know there's economics involved, but if you push for the quality of the education, everything else will sort of follow through. Now there's a big, somebody said something about 500 students being the ideal population for a school. I think that's a false number. For K-6, the smaller the school, the more the community is involved and oriented towards that school, the better the school is. For K-6, small is better. And if you have a school that has 400 students and it's quality education, well, that's super, that's what you want. The idea of having bigger schools, for high schools it's okay. There's a social context that's different for that age group. But for K-6, it's nice if you have a community living in Dove Hill. If you take away that school, it will take a lot out of that community, a lot of that desirability of being in that community cohesion, of that knowing your neighbors, because most of us know our neighbors through our kids. And if they're local, the kids feel comfortable and the parents certainly feel comfortable. I'm a little bit perturbed about your use of the word repurpose when I suspect you mean close. Now, closing a school is a tough thing to swallow, but we should be upfront about it. If we're talking about closing a school, say it and let people respond to it instead of being polite and avoiding the conflict. Closing a school in a district like Dove Hill would be very bad for the community and for the quality of life. And education for the kids is a big deal. It's also good for the economics of the area. Your projections, I appreciate, you know, you can project 2 or 3, 5 years out, but you can't really project very closely the number of kids that are going to be available around to go to these schools. So I take them as a suspect. The idea we should be focusing on is education, not economics. And the other general thing I have is you haven't defined what your mission is. Is it to save money? Well, that's a false sense of values. It should be a good education. Communities are important. Dove Hill, because we're sandwiched in between Silver Creek and the Capitol Expressway, there is a sense of community, and it's all centered around the school. And if you take that school away, it's going to be not too cool for that school district, for the people who live there. Property values will be affected, sure, but it's the education of the kids that counts. And that's going to suffer. And I mean emotional development as well as educational development. I think that's about it. I like your surveys, and they focus on the quality of education of what we should be trying to get in our schools. So that was a good thing, but I think you missed a few points. But the mission is missing. If it's just to save money, that's not a good idea. That's not what you should be focusing on.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Henry and Donna Lubong on school repurposing.
We have two kids right now that are going into district two, and I guess one of our, you know, questions is, have you guys ever found out the main reason why enrollment is declining in this district? Because, you know, we're trying to decide in closing schools, but if you don't know why we're losing students, you're closing school, how, if you don't solve that problem, you're just going to keep on closing down schools in the future, right? And I agree with what some of the parents have said, that we need to create programs to attract more students or bring back students into this district. I don't know if some parents, you know, I have friends who have placed their kids in charter school. Is there something different between regular elementary schools and charter schools? Are the curriculums different? Maybe we can improve on what other parents have said, maybe as far as, you know, like the education, all those programs, right? And many, like other parents have said that Cadwalader has a smaller capacity compared to Laurelwood. But if you look at what you guys have presented, Cadwalader has like 537 students that are capable of accepting as far as students. So I don't know, like if you combine these two populations, I think if you maybe build or repurpose some portables in Cadwalader, you can absorb students from Laurelwood. And then I don't know if making Laurelwood as a, I don't know, like a middle school for this area, might be better. I don't know if that's been brought up. I know money is an issue, and looking at the demographics, Laurelwood is way over, like, there's only like one access. In case of emergencies, it's, you're gonna have congestion going to Laurelwood, and if you need to get those students out in case of emergency. you only have one access, right? Because part of that means like closed off. So I think our main thing is finding out like what the reason is as far as the decline, finding out a solution to bring more students back into this district. And you know, we don't want, none of us want to have a school closed, right? You know, so I mean, I guess we have to like find a solution to this. Bring combined Laurelwood and then repurpose combined Laurelwood and Cadwalader and have an intermediate, a middle school in this area. I know Sheboygan is impacted. A lot of parents want their kids to go to Sheboygan, you know, but I don't know, just ideas, I guess.
That's what we're looking for.
Sorry.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Next, we have Michael Abdi.
My name is Michael Abdi. I'm a parent of two children at Laurelwood, and I'm also the uncle to a nephew and niece that attend Laurelwood as well. I want to start by saying I'm a firm believer that schools exist for the sole purpose to educate and enlighten the minds of our children and the future generations. They're not for us to. It frustrates me when I hear the word revenue thrown around. These are not for-profit institutions. This is for our children. The one thing I'd like us to consider is the non-revenue sources, and that is the teachers that we will lose. Dr. Nguyen right there has been the best, watch my mouth. She's been the best principal we've ever seen, ever. Best principal, and we'll lose her if you cut Laurelwood. And it would be a shame for our students, it would be a shame for the district to lose someone like her and what she has brought and the future generations that she will touch. You mentioned earlier about revenue with the land and development, but you didn't bring up how much money that would bring. Would that be enough to save our schools? Would that be enough to keep our schools open, to afford the programs that our parents and our children so desperately yearn for? We talked earlier about our recommendations or interest that 300 parents took a survey on, but we cannot allow 325 parents to speak for the thousands of parents who may not have access to the technology or the time to fill out that survey or who didn't know about the survey or know that that survey would be turned around to determine if our schools are going to get closed or not. And I just think it's incredibly sad that this moment, and this is now turning neighbors and neighborhoods against each other. People at the estates now turning against other areas at Laurelwood, worrying about commutes or property values, turning neighbors about, well, don't close my school, close that school instead. It shouldn't be that way. I looked on that board. The whole district's going down. Why just this one? And I don't want to see Millbrook or Evergreen or any school get closed. But I just really want to see us really, really yearn and look at what more can we do? And so maybe there will be a continued dip for a couple years, but then what? What happens if enrollment goes up? What happens if property values decline again like they did 10 years ago? What happens when the elderly neighbors start to finally move out and create additional surplus of housing for young families like myself to move into? So it's all stuff that we do need to consider, not just 2020, but we need to consider beyond. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it. Do you want to say? So this is the time to get his ideas.
Okay. All right. Okay, those were the public comments targeted towards the our proposed recommendations. So we're going to move on to general matters from the public. Agenda item number 6. Mr. Larson?
Kevin Larson, parent Millbrook, and member of a parent
group called LaVos. Parent group LaVos is like a private group, but many, many parents come to me and I come to them and we talk about how we can help our school district. Oftentimes, parents don't want their names blasted on the email, so we keep it private. But I'm a member of LaVos. I have a letter which I request to be posted to the minutes of this meeting, and I want to inform the general public that's listening to this that I have two letters that have not been posted on the minutes of this FAC group. I have made it clear to this group, one letter was posted on the November 2016 meeting. So if you go to the minutes of the FAC committee, you'll see that letter if you scroll down the minutes. I've tried to keep the general public informed, and you're not posting the letters, and that's part of our school district policy. So I have a letter today, I want to post it so everyone can read and be informed. Number one, is this facilities advisory committee a 7-Eleven committee? We've asked this over and over again, there's been no answer. There was an answer, and it said no. But I'm asking you, if it's not a 7-Eleven committee, then what kind of committee is it? So if you go to the California Department of Education, type in 7-Eleven, you can read all about what that committee is. Number two, there are six people serving as voting members in the 7-Eleven committee who I believe also gain a paycheck from our district office. I believe that's incorrect, and I think that's wrong. I'm not sure if it's six, but I believe there are. It should never have been set up this way. It should have been people from the outside community. Number three, why is public comment not respected at meetings? I mentioned in November 2016, New Tech Network High School. Again, New Tech Network High School, and we've never looked into it. So it was beholden to this committee to respect that and look into it. Because that way all of our teachers could pop over and be high school teachers, finish out the retirement, and New Tech Network could be a charter school, and all other schools would flood in here and there's nothing they can do because it's perfectly legal to grab from every other district in San Jose. New Tech Network High School, please review this FAC. Next. I want to know if this meeting was highlighted in the weekly bulletins of all the schools, the five schools that are considered for repurposing. Did you put this in the bulletin of those schools? I sure hope so. Next, I would like also that there be no mirage talk. Mirage, that's where you see something, but it's there, but it's not there. If you look at the mission statement of this committee, I've also commented to you, it's very vague, it's not really understandable, and if you translate it, it certainly is not translatable. So I believe that some of the parents have stayed here today, we need to be much more simple talk. And I don't know who's writing these things for you, but they're not really understandable. I ask everyone to read the mission statement of the FAC committee on the online and have it changed immediately. Okay, I'm almost done, and I have here, that many people have asked about Mrs. May's 22 questions. I think you made a big mistake having this meeting before you went over each one individually, and it was not covered, item 4.1 of the last meeting. Why are these town hall meetings, last item, why are these meetings not held at the schools considered for repurposing?
Yeah.
Now, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have these meetings at the schools that are being considered for repurposing. You're looking for parent input. How are you going to get it? There's only 40 parents here, and they're lovely people. We need 100 parents, and we need to get the word out. So you made another error by not having these meetings at the schools, one of the five schools for repurposing. Thank you very much. I ask this be put into the minutes so everyone can read it online. Thank you very much.
Secretary?
Just take it.
Who's the secretary? I need to make sure the secretary has it.
Nope. What's that?
Anybody else?
I was going to say something, now I can't remember what I was going to say.
Someone's talking about future meetings.
Okay. All right. There were no other public comments for item number 6, matters from the public, so we're going to move on to future meetings. On Thursday the 16th is our regularly scheduled meeting. It will be held at the conference room in the business office. It is open to the public. The public is welcome to attend. March 23rd is our second public hearing. That will be held at Leyva Middle School in their library. Library. Again, we encourage the public to attend. And then we have our final meeting scheduled for March 30th. That's our regular meeting that will be held at the conference room in the business office. And then at the April board meeting is when the FAC committee will be presenting its final report to the board with its list of recommendations. I have one public comment on the future meetings. Mr. Larson.
Kevin Larson, Millbrook. My whole purpose here is helping the low-income parent and those students with disabilities. That's my major thrust. You're not including them in your decision process. Do you print things up in Spanish? Do you print things up in Vietnamese? Do you give the extra nurturing, reaching out and making sure this is in their school bulletin? And for God's sake, who's ever writing your information is so nebulous that I had to complain to the school board, and I believe they made some changes, because yesterday, or today, I got another email that was a little bit better. We don't need nebulous information. Number one, all school board meetings are audio taped, so I want the general public to go there, click on audio, and listen. Number two, this entire meeting is audio taped, so I want the general public to go there and listen carefully to this meeting. Number three, that meeting area that you have for these FAC meetings is really clandestine, in my opinion. It's dark, it's, in my opinion, a little bit dangerous, and sometimes you get out of there, it's pitch dark. I mean, I can't even see anything. The lights aren't working or anything. Those meetings are held behind the school district office, and it's a horrid location. And I have recommended that we move it, but nobody listened. So I don't think you're going to get many people coming because you're not even holding it a good location. So, general public, please come to these meetings. And the school board has voiced that they want the general public to participate. There are many wonderful school board members that want your opinions, and the school board members are good people, last comment, and they read every email that you send them. So just click on the email of the district website and write the school board members. They listen, they're good people, and I respect them greatly.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that concludes, any other public, no. Okay, so that concludes our public comments on future meetings. Anything, committee, any final comments, anybody? No? Okay, then I think we're finished here. I just wanna say thank you for everyone to coming tonight. We really appreciate your comments. We've heard some good ideas. It's audio recorded, as Mr. Larson reminded us. And the committee, we will be reviewing everything. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming tonight.